Good day, everyone. Welcome to Albuquerque. We still haven't been able to get over there. God let us in on trumpets, but then the governor over there is shutting us down a little bit more this next week. So 2020, an unusual year. I know I'm going to lose a few of you here if you're not a movie buff. But if you're a little bit of a movie buff, you're aware that there are movie remakes. True Grit. I had True Grit. And of course, John Wayne was the primary actor in the good True Grit. And then came the remake. And Lloyd's boy, Jeff, just didn't cut it. The Fly. Now, if you're the original Fly, you got Vincent Price. And then Jeff Goldblum in the remake of The Fly. You probably shouldn't have seen either one, but unless you saw the Saturday Night Live with the vice presidential debate. A star is born. So was it Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson or Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga? Today I want to do a remake for 2020. The Book of Job, the remake, 2020. Job is a curious book. You've studied the book and come to different conclusions and come sometimes to more questions than answers in going through that book. It's a book that doesn't even say when Job lived. We can give pretty close dates to many of biblical characters, but this book doesn't say when Job lived. There's a lot of speculation on it. One of the speculations is that he lived at the time of Abraham. I'm going to go with that one, just as a speculation here. And if he lived at the time of Abraham, if you do the math, then I say the book of Job and what is written there occurred in the year 2020 B.C., Now, you can do the math, and if you do that, and he lived at the time of Abraham, he would have overlapped Abraham by about 116 years. So, in our remake, we'll start with the original in 2020 B.C. Anyway, the book begins with a conversation between God and Satan, actually. It's a curious book, like I said. In Job chapter 1, verse 8 in the New Living Translation, it says, "Then the Lord asked Satan, 'Have you noticed my servant Job? He's the finest man in all the earth. He's blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil.'" In general, could God have said the same thing about you in the remake of 2020? That essentially, indeed, you fear God and you stay away from evil, like the sermonette was talking about. In general, I think you could say that about yourself in a movie remake here. Verse 9 says, "Satan replied to the Lord, 'Yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. For you've always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You've made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is.'" All of us in this room, we could extend to other parts of the world that aren't quite so blessed, but you are rich, even in the poorest state, with the things that God has blessed us with living in this country. And we'll get to a little bit of that more later. But we are greatly blessed, as Job was greatly blessed. Verse 11, Satan says, "Reach out, God, reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." That's easy easier to believe and trust in God when things are going the way we want them to go. And he says, you've always put a wall of protection around him, his home and his property. You've made him prosper in everything he does. I guess I read that. Okay, let's go to verse 12. He said, all right, God says, you may test him. Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. Now, Satan was asking for permission to take things away from Job, to test him, to try him. And God said, okay, but I'm still in charge. You have your limitations. I'll only allow you to go so far with this. But look how far he did allow him to go. Has a similar conversation been said about you? To where God says, look, I've called this person. They're faithful. They're doing what? They attend Sabbath services. They're kind to one another. They serve. And Satan says, yeah, but what about if I start taking stuff away? What about if I start having things happen to them that they don't like particularly? Or maybe you said that about the church. Well, look at there. The church is you know, a positive place to be, and we've got support for one another. And Satan says, well, how about if I try them? What if I maybe cause another split, or you know, whatever it might be that Satan says, hey, let me do that. And what if God said, okay, how did 2020 BC go for Job? One after another, Job hears from these messengers. I don't know if you have messenger on your phone, but you can put yourself in that situation where you get a phone call, you get a message, a text message, you get an email, and you got some bad news. So here's my version again of Job, that a messenger comes to Job and he says, Job, your farm was flooded. Total disaster as 2020 begins for him. All your buildings, all your equipment, your hired hands, all gone. Wow, it's a terrible thing to happen, especially for the people involved there. But Job's okay. I've got other investments here. So, I mean, it's a terrible thing, but it's not a complete disaster. Until he gets his next text message. It says, your ranch has been hit with a forest fire. Again, it's a loose interpretation, but essentially what happened. And the fire burned through the entire ranch, killed all your animals, and it even killed your hired hands. Now things are really beginning to look bad. Your shepherds and sheep have died. Your shepherds have died. And he's trying to recover from this. In 2020 B.C., then, here comes another messenger right on the tails of the other and said, you know your other ranch that you have, the one with camels and everything? It's been repossessed by the bank. All the animals are gone. All your servants have been fired. Basically, Job, you're broke. Job, you can imagine putting yourself in his position, as some of you can today in some degree, and says, well, so at least I've got my family. Family's important. You know, as we look at the disasters occur and floods come and fires come and things are taken away, and said, at least we've got our family. We survived. So then a message comes and says, there's been a massive tornado that's destroyed your home. And your kids were in it, and your kids are all gone. Well, it's 2020 B.C. What do you expect? Bad year for Job. And probably, he said, what else can happen? You ever said that this year? Here in 2020 A.D.? Well, later that year, Job 2, verse 1, Good News Translation said, And then the day came for the heavenly beings to appear before the Lord again, and Satan was there among him. Job 2, verse 2, says, Satan answered the Lord. He said, I've been patrolling the earth and watching everything that's going on. Verse 3, the Lord asked, Did you notice my servant Job? There's none on earth faithful and good as he is. Now, that's after all the disasters. That's after all the bad things that can possibly happen, it seems, happened. My servant Job is still faithful. He worships me and is careful not to do anything evil. And God says, You persuaded me to let you attack him for no reason at all. This New Living Translation. But Job is still as faithful as ever. You attacked him for no reason at all. I let you. But there wasn't a specific reason necessarily. Verse 4, Job replied, Well, a person will give everything up in order to stay alive, but now suppose you hurt his body, and then he'll curse you to his face. Yeah, okay, we've tested him some, but what about this other disaster that he would rather not have? What about this other situation that adds to the situations that are already there? Then how do you think Job is going to react? And the Lord said to Satan, All right, he's in your power, but do not kill him. I'm still in charge. You can do this much, but not that much. And then Satan left the Lord's presence and made sores break out all over Job's body. He went and sat by the garbage dump and took a piece of broken pottery to scrape his sores. And verse 9 says, His wife said to him, Are you still... You're still as faithful as ever, aren't you? You're going through trial after trial after trial, and you're still faithful to God? She says, Why don't you curse God and die? It'd be just a lot easier. Get it over with. You know, you're gone, and then you got the kingdom. Okay. Why don't you curse God and die? Why not? Why didn't God just get it over, Job, just get it over with? Why was this happening? Why did Job go through this trial? In my speculation of 2020 BC. Why? We all desire to know why. You go through your various tests, your various trials, and is that not the question that comes to your mind? Why me? Why this? Why that? In a New Living Translation, if you do a word search, why in the Bible was asked over 600 times. 666, actually, in the New Living Translation. Why? We want to know why. It's used 30 times in Job in the New Living Translation. All these things happen, but why? A few of the verses, Job 3:23 says, Why is life given to those with no future, those God has surrounded with difficulties? Wouldn't it be easier for them to just die than to have to go through operation after operation or the pain after pain? And just be easier to die. Curse God and die, if you will. Job 10:1, I'm disgusted with my life. See, this is the original. And sometimes we end up having the same human thoughts that Job had as we look at our own lives and others that are affected around us. Job says, I'm disgusted with my life. Let me complain freely. You ever complain to God? I expect, possibly. Now, Job was righteous. God said he was righteous, and he worked with Job, but Job had the same passions that we do, and sometimes we end up in our minds, our thoughts, thinking the same thing Job did. He said, Let me complain. And he had a lot to complain about. He said, "My bitter soul must complain. What do you gain by oppressing me, God? What's going on here?" Job says to God, "Why do you reject me, the work of your own hands, while smiling on the schemes of the wicked? I'm a good guy, and I'm going through these trials. Why? And why do they get away with that stuff? Crimes or deception or whatever else." Job 13:24, "Why do you turn away from me, God? Why do you treat me as your enemy?" He's asking these why questions, trying to figure out life out. Job 24, verse 1, "Why doesn't the Almighty bring the wicked to judgment? Why must the godly wait for him in vain?" Okay, God, been praying about this one. Answer me. God, they're getting worse. You're not responding the way I want you to respond. Why? What's happening? Things were not happening the way Job figured they should happen. Let's fast forward to 2020 AD. You're all very familiar with, in the remake of Job. I know that your life is not without difficulties and trials, and things have been going on for a long time, and 2020 isn't unique as far as there being problems and difficulties and tests in life. But really, overall, we're very blessed. I mean, just blessed. Knowing the truth is number one, the calling God's given to us, so that we are able to understand a little bit more than we would otherwise, or a lot more than we would otherwise. We're blessed. You're called. You're faithful. You're serving. You're giving to others. You're obeying God. You're trusting God. You're loving other people. You're doing your best to do that. And yes, we have our shortcomings, obviously. None of us are perfect. We have adequate or excellent places to live. I don't know of anyone in the church that is homeless. And we're blessed again above most people on earth. You probably got a good job, food, clothing. Probably not doing without in some of those areas. Got vehicles, the retirement program, 401k possibly, an IRA, even Social Security. But you have that. So we're blessed. Job was very blessed and had a lot of things. You've got friends. You've got physical family. You've got church family. You're all right. You've got opportunities. Young people have camps. We've got, you can be a camp counselor or whatever. You got feasts. You got local Sabbath services. You've got a congregation to be a part of. You've got certain activities, young adult and teen activities in the study that Mr. McKeon was talking about last night, for example. And all is going along basically well, and then along comes 2020. To add insult to injury, because again, trials and tests have been going on all along, right? Do you know, as I mentioned earlier, do you know that Satan hasn't approached God about you specifically? He said, "Hey, you know, who are you? Did you notice them? Did you notice what's happening here?" Has God asked Satan if he's noticed you? I believe they still talk. There's other places in the Bible where they have the conversations, as evidenced twice in Job specifically. Has Satan suggested to God to make things a little bit more difficult for you? And what does that look like? I don't know, and neither do you. Job didn't know the backstory either. So Job is acting on things that are happening without knowing the backstory. And again, maybe not, that God's done that with you. So what if God did say to Satan, go ahead and let's see what they do. Let's see how they handle this trial. Let's see how they handle this sickness. Let's see how they handle this church breakup. Let's see how they handle this doctrine. Let's see how they handle this life's situation that you would rather not be in. Let's see how they handle this death. So enter 2020. Now the messengers begin showing up, right? This weird thing called COVID-19 begins to arrive, and a bunch of people around the world getting sick, some dying. Plans are canceled. You may have had a major trip that was canceled for 2020. A little disruption. I really wanted to go there. I really wanted to do that. But they wouldn't let me. A little disappointment. You got businesses shut down. Maybe some of yours were affected by that. A little bit taken away here. No restaurants. Can't even go get your hair cut. Weird, isn't it? 2020. Many isolated with stay-at-home orders. There are people in need that could not be visited by others. Pure religion, undefiled, to visit the fatherless and the widows. But no, you can't do that. You can't be there with them. And you may be the with E. Masks required. Oh, and then, well, we've got the church. Sabbath services are canceled. What's with that? That didn't happen before. Not in this day and age. This is taken away from us, if you will. Group Passover services canceled? We took the Passover, you did so individually, and it worked out. But what is with that? Passover services canceled in group. Holy convocations in person taken away for a while, like we got back. Maybe taken away again, the way things go. You don't know. Unable to travel freely. Feast sites shut down. A lot of you didn't get to go to the place you wanted to go. Taken away. Got young people used to their freedoms. I mean, young, energy, social. And then the social freedoms are taken away. Getting together with church and school friends. I mean, that's for young people, pretty much, it's kind of the highlight of their lives is getting together with friends. Taken away. Schools closed. Camps canceled. You know, kids with camp begin on their apps counting down to the next year for camp. And it's taken away. Oh, next year I'm going to be staff at camp. No, you're not. No camp this year. How terrible. Can't see friends. Have a wedding without guests. Got lame online learning. Trying to get your education, but kidding me? Lonely. Feast plans change so you can't see the friends that you were looking forward to seeing. You see looming debt in this country and the things that are going on around us, and how am I ever going to pay off my college debt? Am I going to be able to get a job? There gets to be a certain amount of despair and discouragement. It reminded me a bit of David. King David, who before he was king, killed a lion and a bear and ended up standing up for God faithfully, killed Goliath. He was in King Saul's court. He was anointed to become king eventually. And then Saul started persecuting him and he was fleeing for his life. He's like, all his stuff, and then came crashing down. Another type of 2020 for him. And then 2020 brought the worsening disasters and societal ills that just seemed to be tearing the world apart. You know, you've had record fires, record heat, record drought, record flooding, record hurricanes, just one disaster after the other coming, right? You turn on the news and the other messenger coming with the bad news. Just as 2020 is around the corner, here comes COVID's second or third wave or whatever it is. And it's not getting that much better. Sickness, restrictions, deaths, regular prayer requests. Did Satan come before God and say, a person will give up everything in order to stay alive, but suppose you hurt his body, then he'll curse you to your face. Early in 2020, the COVID came on, and a lot of us, I think, said, well, you know, this COVID's going around, and it's really affecting a lot of people, and Italy shutting down, one thing or the other, but people would say, well, I don't have anybody in the church that has COVID. God's protecting us, right? I don't think you'll say that anymore. So things got a little worse. Does God know that? 2020 continues. We get prayer requests. You know, a person will give up everything to stay alive, but suppose you hurt his body. You get prayer requests for Grace Jones, a little girl who, she didn't do anything wrong, jaw being eaten away and having to go through operations and things, and say, God, what's happening? Why? You get and this is just a small sampling. Kay was talking this morning. She says, I think I'm getting a prayer overload from the perspective that there's so many things and people that I can't keep up. I don't know, you know, how to keep up with all this stuff. You get an announcement such as this one. Elder Moses Naira faithfully served God's churches in East Africa, overseeing 5 congregations. On the last day of the feast, Moses became quite ill, was anointed, sadly. Musa Naira died Wednesday, October 13th, at a hospital in Nairobi. Why? Greatly affected so many people. And then Scott McKeon sends out an email. Please add Bill and Kelly Ferrier and their families to your list. So Bill's leukemia symptoms have returned. Urgent prayers requested for God's intervention and healing. Add Bob and Sharon Maud to your list. We don't know if we have seasonal flu or COVID, treating it as though it's COVID. It just won't go away. Please keep the Boses on your prayer list as well. Mary's in the middle of chemo treatments for the second time as she fights ovarian cancer. The Bartons are fighting illness. Kevin and Jules Wright are dealing with COVID and rescheduled surgeries, and there are many others to consider as well. And then a phone call. Elder and pillar of the Phoenix congregation. Mike Miller died suddenly at his home. And what else? 2020. Kind of feels like Job revisited. So why? What's going on? What do we do to overcome the constant barrage of bad news and catastrophic events, life-changing events in our lives? What do we do with that? Job wanted to know, In a summary, essentially, Job says, I think I've been a pretty good guy. God, why are you doing this or allowing it to happen? Just tell me and I'll understand. Give me a why for some of these things. Now, early on, Job took it in stride. Job 2, verse 10, he said, should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. And we are faithful to God. We trust him. We believe him. And we look forward to his plan of salvation, and that's why we're here. That's why we exist. But we don't always understand why. Job's friends tried to answer the why. They thought they had the answers. You know, you go through several chapters of the book, and they're saying, well, Job, you had to have sinned. You know, you couldn't be going through this for no reason. They thought they had the answers. Sometimes we write cards, letters, and emails to people and try to have the answers. And a lot of the answers are there. And it's wonderful that we do that to help each other. But we're still wondering why. We look for just and logical answers to these things. We think, we reason, we're given the scriptures to guide our thoughts and the way we ought to handle things. And sometimes it's just like, and have you ever done this? It's like, okay, God, I've learned my lesson. So, God, it's time to stop. Okay? I'm good. You know, I repent of whatever it is you want me to repent of. Still not sure. But, God, it's time to give me my life back. Job went through that frustration. Many of you have gone through that frustration or are going through it. And when God doesn't react the way we think he should, then sometimes we weaken. As Job, he weakened. He goes through a lot of places and says, God, why are you doing this to me? I'm complaining to you. Answer me. Wanting to know why. You know, the book of Job does not tell us exactly why. In our personal and collective trials, we may not be able to fit God into our little why box. You know, we have a why box as a list of reasons why. And Job's friends gave those list of reasons why it probably is. And God said, nope, struck out on that one. Struck out on those. That's not the big plan. Now, I know it's almost shop-worn to talk about putting God in our box, but you've got a certain box of why, probably. And when God doesn't fit his plan into my box, then I say, well, there's got to be something wrong with God because he's not answering the way that I think he should. That's what Job's conclusion ended up being. The problem is our box is too small to really know all of the whys. Again, Job couldn't figure out why. His friends tried to identify why from them, but they could not. Basically, it was, Job, you sinned, so that's why you're going through all these things. And we do have to examine when we go through things, say, what am I doing wrong, and correct that. That's a part of the process, and sometimes that's why. But Job chapter 32, verse 5, so when Elihu saw that the three men could not answer Job, he was angry, and Elihu began to speak. They couldn't answer Job. Sometimes we don't have the answers either to our satisfaction. What did God do to bring Job to the place where he wanted him? Where Job saw God clearly. Where Job came up and said, aha, I know what's happening. And how can we figure what's happening? Now, Elihu was on the right track. In fact, God commended Elihu. And some of the things Elihu did, Job 33, verse 12, New Century Version, says, God is greater than we are. Okay, our concept of God is with God's Spirit is great, but God's greater than we understand even. Verse 13, why do you accuse God for not answering anyone? He said, Job, you say, well, God's not answering. And Elihu's saying, yes, he does. Job 33:14, God does speak, sometimes one way and sometimes another, even though people may not understand it. So why isn't God answering it the way I want him to answer it? Why did he answer this person and he didn't answer for that person the way I wanted him to answer it? And we look around and we say, God, why aren't you answering? Well, God is answering. God is answering. That's what he's saying here. Job 36:15, Elihu goes on to say, but God saves those who suffer through their suffering. He gets them to listen through their pain. Now, God's interest is in us listening to God. Us really believing what God says and responding appropriately. Responding in a proper way instead of in our own little box. Job 37, verse 5, Good News Translation said, at God's command, amazing things happen. Wonderful things we can't understand. And Elihu's talking about, one of my favorite topics is creation and all of the things that God has made and created in the universe and the animals and the little things and the big things. And he says, look at what God's, do you really know how God does all these things? Do you understand the greatness and the depth of who God is and what he understands and what he's done and is doing and is going to do? Do you understand it? We can't understand fully. God does amazing things. And in whatever trial or test we're going through and whatever year we're in that these things are happening, God knows. God sees. He's aware. He's not gone off somewhere. He hasn't forgotten, although it feels like it sometimes to us. Job 37:23, Elihu goes on to say, God's power is so great that we can't come near him. I mean, you're not even close, even though you're close to God. We want to be one with him. We want to understand like the immensity of who God is and what he's done is beyond us. He is righteous and just in his dealings with us. So if things don't seem righteous, if things don't seem just, it's because we think too small. And I don't comprehend everything. But we need to get that big picture to see God. Verse 24, no wonder then that everyone is awed by him and that he ignores those who claim to be wise. I was like, are you kidding me? The scientists that say, oh, we saw something up there with our telescope, and it's so, maybe we'll be able to explain how everything got here now. I say, are you kidding me? You fools. You're talking about, oh, well, the Big Bang or the anti-bang or the black holes or whatever. You don't know what you're talking about. Look at me. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've got planned for you. In this little short life, although it extends with pain and sorrow and suffering, is nothing compared to what I'm going to do and I'm doing. Elihu basically is given an introduction to God's answer. And Job 38, verse 1, then God starts speaking on his own. And he says this to you in your trial, and me in my trial, Job in his, and throughout mankind's history. And out of the storm, the Lord spoke to Job. Who are you to question my wisdom with your ignorant, empty words? And in frustration, we cry out. And in frustration, we have empty thoughts and ignorant thoughts. And we question, we doubt, because that's human nature. But he says, who are you to question my wisdom with your ignorant, empty words in your little box? Verse 5 of chapter 38, God says, do you know all the answers? You want to try being in charge? You know, we go through trials like this, and we've got pastors here that have to handle these things, and sometimes, wow, what is he doing? You know, why is he making that decision or this one? I said, do you want to be in charge? You want to try being pastor? Not so easy when you have to think of all the people and everything in it. Look at it from God's perspective, that God knows everything, is in charge of everything, and we start challenging him. Now, Job finally came to see that he didn't understand what went on behind the scenes. This is what Job saw. He saw that God's plans and justice were beyond his small mind. How many of you parents have said to your children at one time or the other, because I said so, that's why. And why did you say that? It's because, well, from their little minds, you know, they think, well, it's just breakfast, lunch, and dinner should be just a different type of ice cream, you know, and that's my balanced diet. You say, no, not going to happen. Why? Because I said so. I mean, bottom line. This is what God is doing, is that he knows all this stuff that goes on, what we think might be good for us. That's why God said, okay, I got a better plan. Okay, this might hurt for a while. But in the end, this is what you're going to receive. This is what's going to happen. I used to say when my kids would challenge me, I said, why? Because I'm the dad. And we talk to God, and it's because I'm God. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, Job had faith. He said he was faithful to God. He believed God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. Okay, you got to have faith that God knows what he's doing, that he sets everything in place. We may not understand it all the time, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God's looking for the outcome. He's looking for the reward of eternal life for his children, which is you and all of mankind eventually. And that's the bottom line. But God's not rewarding me like I want to be rewarded. Or I think he should be rewarding me. I got my reward box. Oh, God, those rewards that you give have to fit into my box. If they don't, you're not rewarding me. Let's notice Hebrews 11:39. Hebrews 11:39, the Living Bible. It says, and these men of faith, and you can include Job in that, can include ourselves in that. You can include Mike Miller in that. says, these men of faith, though they trusted God and won his approval, none of them received all that God had promised them. You got to believe and that he is a rewarder and you will receive the reward God promises you. But all these men died. You read through Hebrews 11 and you go through history. None of them received the reward that God promises in full. Verse 40, God wanted them to wait and share even better rewards that were prepared for us. So the reward is coming and it's in God's plan. He's got, okay, I want you to wait. I don't want to wait. That means I have to have patience. And I don't like to have patience. I don't like for it not to go my way. The CEV verse 39, this is Hebrews 11, 39 again. It says, all of them pleased God because of their faith, but they still died without being given what had been promised. This was because God had something better in store for us. Okay, you're having to suffer now a bit. You're having to go through these things because I got something better than what's here. Better than being answered the way you want right now. And sometimes it is answered the way we want right now, right? But I'm talking about, in general, it doesn't always go that way. In the end of Job's trials, God rewarded him with two times the former of everything that he had, and he gave another 140 years of life, which is symbolic of us in going through trials and tests. And then in the end, God gives the great rewards that he does promise us and a reason to go through it. In Job 42, verse 1, New Century Version says, then Job answered the Lord, I know that you can do all things and that no plan of yours can be ruined, not even by my will or by my complaint or by my small mind. Verse 3, you asked, who is this that made my purpose unclear by saying things that are not true? Don't put words in God's mouth that aren't so. Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, Job says. I didn't get the big picture. I saw things from my small box. I talked of things too wonderful for me to know. Verse 4, and you said, listen now and I will speak and I will ask you questions and you must answer me. God had Job think the whole thing through. And said, I guess you're right, God. I don't have all the answers. I don't see things as clearly as I would like to see them. But now, it says, verse 5, my ears have heard of you before, but now my eyes have seen you. Kendall Tours has said that as 2020 began happening, he said, 2020 is the year that we should all get 2020 vision of who God is. And if it was 2020 BC that Job went through all these things, he ended up getting 2020 vision of who God is and who we are. And in this time of 2020, are we seeing God more clearly because of the things that we're going through, because of the sufferings that we go through or others go through, because of things that we would rather not have to go through? Why are so many bad things happening in 2020? How about you? Why are they happening to you? How will you survive it? We need to know that God has a plan and trust him to see us through. I want to close with an article that I read in AmericanMagazine.org. And it was a story about Abraham Lincoln. And this article, or the story was told from Elizabeth Keckley, who was formerly a slave, was now a servant in the Abraham Lincoln's home and a close confidant to the First Lady. And she says that one day Abraham Lincoln came in from the war room, and she said he looked just awful. And as she said, he was exhausted and worn out. And she quotes, "His step slow and heavy, and his face sad, like a tired child. He was a complete picture of dejection." Mary Lincoln asked as he came home from the war room, "Any news?" And Lincoln said, "Yes, plenty of news, but no good news." And as Job ended up with plenty of news, but no good news. As we end up in 2020 with plenty of news, but it seems very little good news. And Mr. Lincoln says, "It's dark, dark everywhere." Going through the Civil War and the things that were happening at that time, everywhere was the war effort. Everywhere was his administration and the politics that were going on and the hatred people had for him, and they did, and his own state of mind. It's dark, dark everywhere. So he lay on the sofa, and Lincoln began reading his Bible. A little bit later, this lady, Mrs. Keckley, observed, "The face of the president seemed more cheerful as he was there laying on the sofa reading his Bible. The dejected look was gone, and the countenance was lighted up with a new resolution and hope. The change was so marked that I could not but wonder at it and wonder what led the desire, to know what book of the Bible afforded so much comfort to the reader." So she said she was attending to Mary Todd, and she wandered over to the couch and looked over his shoulder at his Bible, and he was reading the book of Job. And she said he read with Christian eagerness, and the courage and hope he derived from the inspired pages made him a new man. Through reading the book of Job, why would the book of Job lift a person up from such despair and horrible times? Lincoln's friend O.H. Browning observed about Lincoln, and I think this gave an answer to why President Lincoln responded so positively to the book of Job. O.H. Browning said, "From a young age, Lincoln's burning ambition was suffused with a sense of calling and some higher purpose." He goes on to say, "Mr. Lincoln believed that there was a predestined work for him in the world, and he believed that God had a role for him to play." To please God, you must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. What about you? Do you believe that God has called you to a higher purpose? Do you believe that he has a role for you to play in his great plan of salvation for all mankind and for his kingdom? Do you believe that he knows what you do not? Behind the scenes things, a greater plan and a greater purpose than we may understand. Do you believe that you may not always understand, but still believe? Do you believe that he's in the process of rewarding those that diligently seek him? Then you know why things are the way they are. May the rest of 2020 be blessed.